From Greensburg to Westchester, Somerset to Bradford, this is Lincoln Radio Journal. On this edition, the number one problem facing employers in Pennsylvania today is finding skilled employees to fill available jobs. Carl Marrera of the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association is here to host a Capital Watch discussion with Darlene Robbins and Courtney Fosnock of the Northeast Pennsylvania Manufacturers and Employers Council. And Pennsylvania's House of Representatives passed a resolution memorializing the more than 100 million people killed by communist tyrants. But 30 members voted against the resolution. I'll explain on my Town Hall commentary. I'm Loman Henry, and welcome to Lincoln Radio Journal. We'll get to our Capital Watch crew in just a couple of minutes, but first, news headlines from patownhall.com. U.S. Senator Pat Toomey is seeking Senate approval of a resolution that would prevent future presidents from banning fracking. Toomey's resolution makes it clear that states have regulatory authority over fracking for natural gas, and that the president cannot use executive authority to ban fracking without congressional approval. According to the Center Square, the resolution was prompted by campaign promises by several Democratic presidential candidates who have pledged to ban fracking if elected. Fracking and the natural gas industry have become one of the fastest growing and largest industries in Pennsylvania. A group of Pennsylvania state employees have sued AFSCME, one of the largest public employee unions, seeking a refund of dues they say were illegally collected by the union. The Supreme Court of the United States has ruled that it is illegal to require public employees to pay union fees as a condition of employment. The employees suing AFSCME were required to pay an average of $600 per year to the union prior to the High Court's ruling. They are now demanding a refund of the illegally collected dues. The presidential race gets all the attention, but there will be three statewide races on the ballot in Pennsylvania in 2020, including Attorney General, State Treasurer, and Auditor General. Attorney General Josh Shapiro is expected to seek re-election, but a Republican challenger emerged last week. Heather Heidelbaugh is a Pittsburgh attorney who also serves on the Allegheny County Council. Heidelbaugh has extensive trial experience and touted that as her main qualification for the job of Attorney General. And more jobs have been lost in the struggling newspaper industry in Pennsylvania. The Pittsburgh Post-Gazette has laid off at least 30 members of the Teamsters Union, including press operators. According to the union, a number of others were reduced to part-time status, meaning they will lose health care benefits. The newspaper and the Teamsters have been attempting to negotiate a new contract for a number of years with no success. Read about all things Pennsylvania at patownhall.com. With more job openings than qualified workers to fill them, workforce development has become a top priority for employers across Pennsylvania. The Northeast Pennsylvania Manufacturers and Employers Association has developed their YES program, Your Employability Skills, this to address the problem. Here to host our Capital Watch discussion is Carl Marrera from the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. He is joined by Darlene Robbins and Courtney Fosnock. Carl?
Welcome to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I'm your host, Carl Marrera, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. And on today's program, we discuss workforce development, which is an issue that has been keeping a lot of Pennsylvania business owners up at night, not knowing where and how they are going to staff their operations because they simply can't find the talent or even the folks that are trainable to do the work that needs done. This is most concerning for business competitiveness because the inability to hire and expand or even sustain current operations acts as a hard cap on growth for businesses in our Commonwealth. And businesses simply cannot grow and add additional capacity if there's nobody available to fill the positions. Pennsylvania is not unique to this struggle. States across the nation are all grappling with the same issue, some more than others, though. And with Pennsylvania having heavy out-migration over the past several decades, the problem does seem to exist here more than in some of our competitor states. But there is good news, and that's why we're here today. There are people doing something about the workforce gap crisis, and it's none other than our allies in Northeast Pennsylvania, and we have them here with us on the program today. Let's welcome Darlene Robbins, president of the Northeast PA Manufacturers and Employers Association and of the Northeast PA Manufacturers and Employers Council. Darlene, welcome to the program.
Well, thank you, Carl. Thank you for the opportunity.
And joining Darlene is Courtney Fosnock, the Executive Director of the Northeast PA Manufacturers and Employers Council. Courtney, thank you so much for being on the program today.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Well, these two are on the front lines of this workforce development issue, and they have a wonderful program that we're going to learn about where students can earn a certificate that I'm telling you, it's as good as gold up in Northeast Pennsylvania and provides eligibility for hosts of scholarships and job interviews and other opportunities. It's called the YES program, standing for Your Employability Skills. And we're going to learn more about this program from Darlene and Courtney firsthand. But let's first start with you, Darlene, and learn about what kind of workforce development challenges exist in Northeast Pennsylvania and throughout our Commonwealth. Darlene, are you hearing the same things that we're hearing here in Harrisburg, and what kind of challenges do you have up there?
Well, we absolutely have workforce challenges. Our companies are not able to expand or meet customer demands, specifically because they are not able to hire the skilled workforce.
Well, and tell me a little bit about your organization and the things that you, that your mission and the things that you fight for. Tell me about the Manufacturers and Employers Council and about the Manufacturers and Employers Association and the work that you do.
The Northeast Pennsylvania Manufacturers and Employers Association is a regional business association representing manufacturers, people who make things here in Northeast PA, and employers who service those industries. Our mission is to provide information and services to help our member companies remain competitive in today's business world. So since 1964, member companies have depended on us to be their single, cost-effective source for information and support on matters affecting the employer-employee relationship. For 55 years, we have provided services which enable our members to conduct themselves with the greatest economy and efficiency. As a member company, you are provided a tremendous networking opportunities, roundtables, tours of manufacturing facilities and businesses, and annual events. Our legislative services align with those pro-growth public policies that promote overall economic growth. We work with state affiliates like the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association and the National Association of Manufacturers. Our services here at MAEA include weekly updates and alerts, representation on regional, state, and national levels. We provide legislative roundtables and luncheons, combined, of course, with our grassroots advocacy, where our members discuss with our legislators how the proposed bills affect their businesses. We have affinity programs, those group programs that entail group energy, transportation programs, telemedicine, healthcare, including vision, prescription, and dental. We also conduct benchmarking surveys on regional and national wage and salary, personnel practices and benefits, regional pay trends, and holiday survey. We provide employment law posters for our companies for all 50 states. We also provide consulting services that help our companies establish best practices, methodologies, such as safety, coaching, HR process improvement, information technology, and data management. In 2005, Carl, the membership echoed in a unified voice the need for an employability skills program for our emerging workforce. Thus, the incorporation of our Northeast Pennsylvania Manufacturers and Employers Council in 2006. Today, our council administers many workforce programs, K through 12, with the YEF program as our flagship.
Courtney, I know you are the executive director of the council. How is the council different or separate from the association?
So the Manufacturers and Employers Council is the 501c3 nonprofit affiliate for the association, and we do house all of the workforce development programs for the association.
Well, let's get into the details of the YES program, because this is just what's so exciting. And I know that Darlene hit it a little bit, but Courtney, tell me a little bit about the history. When and how did it all start?
So as Darlene had mentioned, the association's board of directors were impressing upon her the need for employability skills programming. And we hear it time and time again from all of the employers that we work with, being a manufacturer or non-manufacturer. Employability skills is their number one concern. They feel like they can train their staff on the technical skills needed, but that those basic essential skills that individuals should have are just truly lacking. So we, in 2006, started the YES program, Your Employability Skills, and pretty much the idea is to prepare our up-and-coming workforce with the skills needed for any business in any industry. The council has various programs, really trying to connect business leaders and educators to work hand-in-hand and to truly establish a qualified, enthusiastic workforce who will strengthen our regional economy. The YES program is a 120-hour, one-credit elective course, and its focus is to address the shortfall of essential skills that employers say are lacking in their applicants. So there's a focus on employability skills, career awareness, and career exploration. There are about 38 modules included within the curriculum, things like communications, team building, health and safety, customer service, emotional intelligence, entrepreneurship, total compensation, business etiquette, goal setting, time management. We have quality and technology pieces included, including quality, continuous improvement, root cause analysis, no matter the environment. We do effective meeting skills, conflict management, generational diversity, leadership, and I mean, we copyrighted the curriculum in 2011. Originally, the program did begin in York County as an adult program later tailored for high school students. And one of the things that we saw upon implementation was just extreme, tremendous growth. We needed to have a copyrighted curriculum, so we were successful to copyright the curriculum in 2011. Since then, it's been made to be highly interactive, very hands-on, providing students with real-world application. And so above that 120-hour curriculum, students are able to earn the YES certification, which is an industry-recognized credential. Students complete the 120 hours of the curriculum. They then must earn their high school diploma. There is a minimum 95% attendance requirement, which equates to about 9 days of unexcused absences. Students take a 6-panel drug screening administered by a provider coordinated through our council. We test the students on the TABE test, the Test of Adult Basic Education, in math, applied math, and reading. Students need to achieve a 9th grade level. And we also test the students on the Wunderlich Cognitive Ability Test, which is a problem-solving aptitude test, and students need to achieve a score of 21. If all of these requirements are met, they are issued the YES certificate.
Well, let's get into what that YES certificate means in just a second, but we have to quickly pause for identification. You're listening to Capital Watch, where we keep an eye on what's happening under the Capitol Dome in Harrisburg for you. I am your host, Carl Marrera, Vice President of Government Affairs for the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association. We're having a conversation about the YES program, the Your Employability Skills Program, run by the Northeast Pennsylvania Manufacturers and Employers Association and Council. And we're talking with Darlene Robbins, the President, and Courtney Fosnock, the Executive Director. Director of the council. And Courtney, you talked about this growth. I mean, it's fascinating. In 2006-2007 academic year, you had one school and 6 graduates. In the 2017-18 academic year, you had 18 schools participate with 340 graduates. This is incredible growth. And how did that happen?
The program truly sells itself. The students, once they are inside the classroom and they're able to see some of the networking opportunities available and the hands-on application, it just pretty much from year to year has just grown tremendously because of word of mouth from our program participants. So aside from the YES curriculum, students also have the opportunity to participate in some additional activities. We have YES tours that are coordinated for each individual YES class. They go on four different tours. So we, during these trips, students get an inside look at how industry functions, the careers available to them when they're ready to enter the workforce. And we have just a wonderful variety of tour hosts, including manufacturers, logistic operations, education, the service industry, sales, healthcare, government, agribusiness, conservation, and even entertainment at times. We have classroom speakers and mock interviews. So we have business professionals from various industries that will go in and speak to the YES classes directly so that students are aware of opportunities within their own backyard. This past year, 2018-19, we had 24 schools in four counties offering YES, and really class enrollment surged to a new high, 1,100 students. And to date, since the program began, we have had 7,500 students participate, with 2,633 graduates receiving that industry-recognized credential.
Well, that industry-recognized credential, too, is, like I had said earlier in the program, I mean, it's as good as a certificate of gold going into a lot of employers in your area because it's so well-known. But it also gets you access to a new exciting program that you guys are going to be able to offer to YES program graduates. Tell the listeners a little bit about the new partnership that you have.
Well, Carl, it's Darlene. On October 8th, the council was proud to partner with Pennsylvania College of Technology, as together we can help to build the workforce of tomorrow for industry and across our regional economy. Within the manufacturing industry alone, there will be 2.4 million jobs to fill over the next decade. Manufacturers are facing a workforce crisis. But with this brings an opportunity because together we can bring more people into high-paying careers by connecting them with the right training opportunities. Very important. This is not only true for the manufacturing industry, but for all of the industries that MAEA represents and Penn College prepares their students to enter. This exciting partnership with Penn College of Technology extends the benefits of a hands-on applied technology education to a new group of students who will become the tomorrow makers the workforce needs as it addresses critical skills gap shortages in so many industries and professions. So we thank Penn College President Davy Jane Gilmore for her insight and leadership, this scholarship support to YES Northeast Pros Program graduates.
Employers, we know, view this as a pre-screening tool, recruitment tool. They're trying to save time and money in the hiring process. We actually have 500 companies in Schuylkill, Luzerne, Erie, and York counties that are offering preferred interviewing to YES program graduates. So to have this support from, you know, our post-secondary educational institutions is just tremendous for us, and it's just a tremendous opportunity for our students. We are funded solely through donations and grant opportunities. We are an EITC-approved organization, an educational improvement organization. But, I mean, really, aside from grant opportunities that are available, I mean, it's very, very competitive. We have been funded because the companies believe in the program. They believe in the students. They see firsthand through their volunteerism, how this program makes a difference in the lives of the students and in our local economies.
You're on the front lines with these students all throughout the year. Can you think of a particular example of a student or two, an example that just really sticks out in your mind of a real success story?
Absolutely. So it actually happened at our annual YES recognition breakfast where we honor our YES graduates. This young man was a senior graduating. He had plans to attend a four-year college institution. And unfortunately, his father had a massive heart attack just a few months before graduation. And he approached us at the YES breakfast and said that he was no longer going to be able to go to college because he needed to be at home working to help take care of his father. And they had lost their main stream of income. So we ended up introducing this young gentleman to one of our local manufacturing companies who was highly, highly supportive, connected them, and this young man began his job with this company upon graduation, and to date, he has been promoted 3 times. And they are actually doing some tuition reimbursement for him, and he is attending college classes while he maintains full-time employment right here in Schuylkill County.
That's amazing, Courtney. And you know, we're running out of time, and we could probably do a whole nother episode on this with how much information you guys are giving us. But really quickly, how do you think that a program like this can translate? We talked about the exodus of unfortunately young, especially young professionals, young individuals who are of working age in Pennsylvania who are seeking opportunities in other states. How do you think a program like the YES program can keep people here in our Commonwealth and in your region?
Well, seeing that the employers are supportive, that they're investing in their future workforce, scholarship opportunities really, truly do mean a lot to our student body because the scholarships are very, very competitive. Penn State, Hazleton, and Schuylkill offer $1,000 scholarships if a YES graduate attends either campus. Since 2011, Penn State has provided $175,000 to our YES program graduates. And most recently with Penn College, realizing the value of the YES program, they are providing a $2,000 scholarship, renewable for up to 4 years for a bachelor's degree student, which is $8,000, and 2 years for an associate degree student, which equates to $4,000. That kind of a scholarship opportunity is just immense. Graduates from the YES program and Penn College are going to enter the workforce as well-rounded employees, having the extensive soft skills training through YES and the advanced technical knowledge in their field of study from their time on campus. And so we really view this as a direct attack on the growing skills gap that we know is plaguing employers and businesses across the nation. And just these students firsthand being able to get out into their community and see what truly is available. There is a misconception. We know that that is part of it. And so the fact that YES is just so hands-on and brings our students to the forefront that they are seeing these high-paying jobs, these highly skilled positions just here at their fingertips is what really has led to a lot of our success.
Well, if that doesn't keep you here, I don't know what will. Darlene Robbins and Courtney Fosnock, thank you so much for joining us on the program today.
Where can
listeners go to learn more about your organization and the YES program?
www.nefamaec.com.
Well, thank you again so much for being with us. And as always, you can learn about the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association at www.pamanufacturers.org. Thank you very much for listening to Capital Watch. And now, a town hall commentary with Loman Henry.
Thank you, Carl. The philosopher, poet, and novelist George Santayana once wrote, quote, "Those who cannot remember the past are condemned to repeat it," end quote. In recent days, the world did indeed remember the past as it marked the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. That event is now viewed as marking the end of the Cold War and freedom's victory over the evil forces of communism. But on the afternoon of Tuesday, October 29th, the lessons of history were indeed forgotten, or deliberately ignored, by 30 members of Pennsylvania's House of Representatives. At issue was a resolution sponsored by State Representative Chris Dush declaring November 7, 2019 as Victims of Communism Memorial Day. Dush provided members with a bit of a history lesson in his floor remarks urging passage of the legislation. Quote, "In our constitutional American Republic," he said, "we, the people, have the right to own and secure property. In wickedly evil sharp contrast, communism makes the false promise of equality, but only delivers atrocities," end quote. So-called equality is always the cheese in the trap for totalitarian regimes. It is also a major talking point for today's democratic socialists who are promising equal outcomes for everyone at someone else's expense. That has historically led to economic ruin, tyranny, and the eventual demise of nations. Dush's lesson continued, pointing out that under communist regimes, quote, "the only thing that you may have in your possession are the things the state decides you may have. The resultant want of things like food in these regimes caused disturbances, which have led to over 100 million victims of communism being unconscionably slaughtered and more interred in re-education camps for simply speaking out against government injustice and tyranny, end quote. 100 million victims. For bloody decades in the 20th century, Joseph Stalin in the USSR, Mao Zedong in China, Pol Pot in Cambodia, all brutally exterminated any man, woman, or child who somehow stood in the way of creating what they build as a workers' paradise or people's republic. It is important to remember that communism and socialism are two sides of the same coin. That is why the rhetoric of the left today is so stunningly similar to the philosophical principles that were the underpinning of the communist movement in the last century. For example, it is a very short step from political correctness to re-education, and the conformity required on college campuses today shows we are well on our way. This brings us back to the House vote on the Victims of Communism Memorial Day resolution. Given the very recent history of tyranny visited upon the world by communism, how could any member of that body vote against memorializing its victims? A majority of the no votes were cast by representatives from the city of Philadelphia, which might soon be known as Moscow on the Delaware. In addition to this affront to the victims of communism, Mayor Jim Kenney recently ordered the Chinese flag to be flown over City Hall on the 70th anniversary of China's communist regime. Kenney justified this disgrace as an exercise in multiculturalism and diversity. This despite the fact many immigrants to the city fled the brutal Chinese regime that today is seeking to crack down on freedom fighters in Hong Kong, which hopefully won't turn into Tiananmen Square 2.0. In the November general election, a Democratic socialist actually beat several Republican candidates to claim a mandated minority party seat on the Philadelphia City Council. 2 years ago, voters elected a district attorney who has acted more like a public defender than a prosecutor, this under the guise of social justice. The explanation of the no votes on the Victims of Communism Memorial Day resolution are clear. There is a radical element within the Democratic Party that believes they can do what has never been done in all of history, implement socialism, communism, without it leading to deadly tyranny. Add all of this together, and it becomes clear that the battle against communism did not end with the fall of the Berlin Wall. The communist-socialist ideology is alive and well in certain quarters of Penn's Woods today, and it is time we wake up to the threat it poses to our economic well-being, our constitutional freedoms, and even our very lives. With a Town Hall commentary, I'm Loman Henry. If you miss hearing Lincoln Radio Journal on your favorite radio station, audio of our complete program is available on our websites, LincolnRadioJournal.com and LincolnInstitute.org. For 24 years, Lincoln Radio Journal has been heard on public affairs-minded radio stations throughout the Commonwealth, including WJAS-AM in Pittsburgh, WDNT-FM in Pittston, along with WHKS-FM in Port Allegheny, Pennsylvania. The Lincoln Radio Journal is produced weekly by the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. The Lincoln Institute is completely funded through the generosity of individuals, corporations, and philanthropic foundations. They include the Pennsylvania Manufacturers Association, the Houston Foundation of Coatesville, and the Allegheny Foundation of Pittsburgh, all of whom have helped to underwrite the costs of this program. Lincoln Radio Journal is a trademark of the Lincoln Institute of Public Opinion Research, Incorporated. Comments and opinions expressed on this program are those of the guests and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Lincoln Institute or of this radio station. From the Lincoln Broadcast Center in Harrisburg, I'm Loman Henry. Thank you for listening to Pennsylvania's most widely broadcast public affairs radio program, Lincoln Radio Journal. Plug into the pulse of Pennsylvania.
We'll be right back.